Welcome to episode 28 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and Elspeth and I have something in common.
You do?
We're both escaping.
Escaping?
Well, she's escaping the underworld, and I'm escaping work for 2 weeks for vacation.
That's awesome. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle, and I have a new deck with creatures strictly with either haste or plus one counters. Building it was a riot.
That was great.
Please listen carefully.
Oh, and since the holidays are in full swing, we didn't want to leave you without the sultry tones of our lovely voices. So we're recording two shorter episodes as we move into the new year, prepping for season two. And what's the difference between season one and season two, you ask? Nothing. It's just we're going to be in 2020 instead of 2019.
Yeah, we'll talk about Commander. Oh, no, that's the same thing.
That's the same
thing. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
Especially Commander.
We didn't do that for the last episode, did we?
We didn't do that for the New Year's episode.
For the future episode.
The future
episode. The next episode you hear, which was recorded in the future. No, it was recorded in the past.
It was recorded in the past from what we're talking, but in the future from what you're hearing.
We didn't record our tagline.
Mind freak.
And this week we're going to talk about what?
We're going to talk about the Theros Beyond Death spoilers that have come out along with
theme boosters.
Yeah.
And what boosters. We think of theme boosters.
Our personal opinions on theme boosters.
Yeah. So
these theme boosters.
We've had a few. Well, the mechanics were released. There's an article that came out. We have Escape, Devotion, Constellation, and Saga's Return.
I like the Return of Sagas.
And it's a really good saga mm-hmm. as well. So Devotion and Constellation are the same as they were before.
We have seen them. I have not played Theros in Standard before, so this will be new to me.
I did play with them, and I really, really did enjoy them. Constellation cares about when an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens. It doesn't matter what. It's not consistent what happens. There can be counters. There can be drawing a card. There can be minus to creatures. There can be whatever. But it cares about when an enchantment enters. If it gets countered, it doesn't enter. It doesn't happen.
Yep.
Devotion cares about specific colored pips in the CMC of the card. Not activated abilities.
Right.
It can be you make creatures equal to your devotion, you make mana equal to your devotion, power or toughness equal mm-hmm. to devotion.
You drain each opponent equal to your devotion and you gain that much life.
Yep, Grey Merchant, good card.
I'm familiar with devotion, but I've never played it in Standard. Constellation is something I don't see a lot in Commander. We'll see, I guess, if it gets... I know you've been begging, if you will... for an enchantment land for Constellation.
Yeah, I would
purposes.
Really like an enchantment land. I think that would be very, very good. And then we have our newest mechanic, Escape.
Yes.
So Escape says if a card with Escape is in your graveyard, you can cast it. Escape basically provides you with an alternative cost with two components, an amount of mana you have to pay and then a number of other cards that you have to exile from your graveyard specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So Escape doesn't change when you cast the spell. Instants with Escape are good to go anytime you want to cast it, and then the other card types can only be cast during your main phase when the stack is empty. So you can grab stuff back from the graveyard, which is really good because it feels like you have a second hand.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a really, actually, I take back the statement that I haven't even started yet. I was going to say that it's going to be a really good keyword for sealed or for draft, but I don't know if you're going to be able to fill your graveyard up consistently enough to make it worth it.
In draft?
Yeah.
I think so.
Do you think you'll have to build around the escape mechanic, or do you think just escape cards are just going to be really good staples to have because of the recurrence?
Well, if it's an instant or sorcery, it just goes to the graveyard as soon as you cast it the first time, then you can do it again from the graveyard.
Right. Have we seen instants and sorceries with Escape?
I don't know if we've seen them, but they specifically explained that there are instants and sorceries with Escape. So
okay.
I don't believe any have been spoiled yet, but that is what the article announced, the mechanics article. So I assume we'll see a few of them. But I think the first card that was spoiled with Escape is Elspeth, Sun's Nemesis. So Elspeth is back.
Yeah.
Two white for a legendary planeswalker with 5 loyalty. Three abilities, -1 up to 2 target creatures you control each get +2/+1 till end of turn. -2, create 2/1/1 white human soldier creature tokens. -3, you gain 5 life. So she does not have any plus abilities.
Right.
And it has escape. So 4 white, exile 4 other cards from your graveyard. And it says you may cast this from your graveyard for its escape cost. So yes. she's escaping the underworld, mm-hmm. and she's coming back. But I mean, the way this reads, it looks like she's going to die again.
But then, like, come back again. And then
I don't know. It looks like she's just going to die again. I wonder if she's trapped forever.
I do really, honestly. Like, I do really like her art. I know that she's had Godsend before in the previous Theros story. And now her weapon is a black spear, which seems really cool. I wonder if...
And it's either melting or it looks like it's oozy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell what's happening with it yet. But you can play her multiple times in a game.
Yeah. So, and she has a 5 loyalty for her starting loyalty. So you can do, you know, multiple of her abilities before she dies. And is this... Do you think this is a planeswalker that you... So this is... We saw minus only planeswalkers in War of the Spark. But all of them had static abilities.
But the original Sarkhan the Mad had only minus abilities as well.
That's true.
So we've seen some, but this one gets to come back.
Right.
Escape, if you will. I think she's good. I don't know how good she'll be for standard. Evaluating it, she makes 2 creatures and comes back. I assume this card is decent. So yeah. My prediction is she'll be played in a deck as a 2-of.
2-of. Okay. Is there any decks currently in standard that want her?
If she doesn't fit into, like, food or adventure.
I think the color white is often
in standard. It's I think right now green's real strong.
It's still strong. They ban the crap out of it and it's still strong.
Yep. So, Elspeth seems really fun.
Yeah. Now, they also reprinted for Theros. Not a reprint, but they printed again a planeswalker that we saw in Theros. Ashiok.
Ashiok is back. Ashiok is referred to as Ashiok.
Ashiok is Ashiok.
Ashiok is Ashiok. So there are no pronouns there.
That's right. Ashiok is the proper noun and the only noun used to refer to Ashiok. Ashiok Nightmare Muse is going to be the non-planeswalker deck Ashiok. Ashiok is 3 blue-black. For +1, can create a 2/3 blue and black nightmare creature token with whenever this creature attacks or blocks, each opponent exiles the top 2 cards of their library. A -3, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand, then that player exiles a card from their hand. And a -7 of you may cast up to 3 face-up cards your opponents own from exile without paying their mana costs.
5 loyalty.
With 5 starting loyalty. So, you know, maybe Ashiok is going to be used in like some mill strategies, blue-black mill strategies. I think it's going to be very difficult to keep Ashiok on board all the way to a -7. As most planeswalkers are, you probably aren't going to see them emblem every time. Ashiok does create a 2/3, which is actually a really, really good blocker.
I think this is going to be a top end in a control deck.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it's going to be played a lot. If that control deck appears.
A 2/3 is huge for a free creature that you can make.
And you make a blocker, which is one... I think it's one of the first things that people evaluate, and they say, can the planeswalker protect itself?
Yeah.
Yes. Ashiok can protect Ashiok.
Yes. And when that blocker blocks, your opponent exiles 2 cards from the top of their library. Or attacks.
Yeah, attacks or blocks. And I did realize that. I didn't realize there was the blocks thing, and I did swing, and I was so mad that I had to ask it. Because I knew it was on the top of my library for some reason.
You scryed
it. I feel like I had scry. Yeah, did you play that after party event with the Elspeth?
I did
not. It had like Black Lotus, and it had Ancestral Recall. In my opinion, it wasn't... It could have... There were a lot of non-game games, because someone got to cast something for 4 mana on turn 1. Or 5 mana, because they got Black Lotus, they got their Mox, 1 land, and then a Planeswalker.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, I guess I lose. I did have two turn one Elspeths played against me. But I did get the majority of my wins with Elspeth's Son's Nemesis. In the end, in the beginning, I got most of my wins with Ashak, but overall, Elspeth was the stronger deck for me. But
yeah,
I think Ashak's great.
Yeah, I do. I do really like that.
Five's
card.
High though, so I don't think it'll be played as more than a two or a three of at most. Just my prediction.
Yep. I can see like an Esper shell right now playing three fairy. And then with this as a top end.
Teferi Time Raveler.
Yes. The three mana Teferi Time Raveler. With Ashiok at the top end. Hand control early, counter spells mid, Ashiok as your top. It seems like a good deck.
It seems good.
We'll see what other kind of support we get when more cards get spoiled.
Let's jump to the saga that was previewed. The Akroan War. So three in a red for a saga that has on the first chapter is gain control of target creature for as long as the Akroan War remains on the battlefield. The second is until your next turn, creatures your opponents control attack each combat if able. And then the third is each tapped creature deals damage to itself equal to its power. I think this is really good, and I think this will be played in Commander.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. I don't normally think that things like this are that great. If each of these was just a card on its own, I think the first and the third would be played. The second would be played in decks that want that ability specifically, but
right.
This has all three and it could really mess up someone's plan.
Yeah. So this is going to go straight into your goad deck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Cause I want that second one to go off. Cause if I don't have a goad card or Marisi, Breaker of the Coil, which is the card that commander, this has to be in that deck.
Now that second ability or second chapter is not goad. So they can swing at you.
Right.
But then they'll be tapped out. Unless they have vigilance stuff, and then crack them back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they have to swing at someone else.
That's a good card.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty happy that sagas are returning. I think sagas were, you know, besides the new Benalia saga.
History of Benalia.
Besides that saga, I'm not really sure any other ones really saw a lot of standard play.
I mean, there was the black one that was played in some control decks. It had the picture of like Nicol Bolas on it. Mm-hmm. And it was they sack a creature and then they discard a card and then you return a creature from a graveyard to the battlefield. It cost five, but it was it wasn't that great. But yeah, none of the sagas were played significantly. But you know, the Fraelis one, Song of Fraelis, was played in like Convoke and Saprolings and like green white tokens.
Gotcha.
When that was better, when we had like the Ixalan block and stuff still in standard.
Right.
We had our first god revealed.
Yes.
Athreos Shroud Veiled. Four white black for a 4/7 indestructible god that has as long as your devotion to white and black is less than seven. It isn't a creature. At the beginning of your end step, put a coin counter on another target creature. Not specifically that you know, it doesn't have to be one you control. Mm-hmm. And then whenever a creature with a coin counter on it dies or is put into exile, return it to the battlefield under your control.
Or is put into exile?
So you can blink, you can exile, you can get rid of a creature your opponent controls if you decide to put a coin counter on it, and then it comes back under your control.
It's really good.
Doesn't work with their commander, though, because they can put that in the command zone.
That's true.
But this is pretty great, and I think it's fairly costed for that gross ability.
Yeah, well, it's indestructible when it comes, and it's not a creature,
right?
When it first comes out, unless your devotion is already up there. But yeah, no, it's amazing.
I think it'll be a fun commander deck for people to build around.
Yeah,
and it gives you another reason to play Path to Exile, and just more than getting rid of it, you bring it back under your control.
I was looking at this to see if there was any sort of card that would like take a counter that's on one creature and then duplicate that counter for like every other creature or something like that. I wasn't able to find any cards that do things like that, so you might have to, you know, do it one creature at a time. But there's definitely some value creatures you can play in your own deck and then steal all the value creatures that your opponents play. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I think it's fun. We see a return for Daxos. Daxos Blessed by the Sun, a 2/0 that costs white.
Two star.
Two
It is star.
Oh, it is 2-star. I don't know why this is showing 2-0.
Because it's probably a screenshot from Arena.
Probably.
Yeah.
You're right. So it is 2-star. Daxos toughness. Daxos's toughness is equal to your devotion to white. Whenever another white creature enters a battlefield or dies, you gain 1 life.
Whenever another
you control
another creature, not white creature. Just
oh, you're right.
Creature.
Whenever another creature you control enters the battlefield or dies, you gain 1 life.
Yeah.
I like that it's just when it enters, you just gain a life.
Yeah, and then when it dies, you gain a life.
We have the Ajani that makes Ajani's Pride Mate for the minus. We have a life gain deck already in standard.
Yeah. It's fringe, but this will help it a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
I mean, even if it's probably only a 2-of, maybe a 3-of. Oh, it's legendary. That's the only reason I say this.
I don't know.
You don't want to draw more than one.
You don't play it. I mean, you can. You don't play it unless you have to. After they board wipe, then you play your other one. And when they board wipe, you gain 40 life.
I know, but I don't want to have it sit in my hand.
I can understand that. Especially
no,
if you're
I do think
white.
It's cool, though. I don't know. I don't know how much Commander wants this card. But I think it's fun.
It would be interesting to see if you could make a mono white token deck work in Commander. I know mono white is very weak in Commander with the support that we have now. Maybe they'll have some extra white devotion cards here in the new Theros block to make a mono white token generator life gain deck work.
Right.
It would be cool.
Yeah. And then I think the only other cards we wanted to mention were the new full art lands from Theros Beyond Death. Those aren't
Pokemon Energy cards?
They could be those ones.
Oh, okay.
You know, some people are saying they look like that. I don't 100% disagree.
Yeah.
But they do. They're all constellation-y, mm-hmm. and they're out in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are looking to pick up full art lands, here you go. If you weren't playing during the Zendikar block, if you didn't play any of the unsets, Amonkhet had some.
Yeah.
And then there was another one.
Hour of Devastation.
I guess the Amonkhet blocks.
Yep. Yep.
You can get some full art lands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have for that.
Yeah.
And so
the more recent thing that came out for spoilers were these theme boosters that they have. Theme boosters by colors. They have theme boosters out right now. They started bringing out theme boosters for the Ravnica blocks where they would themed after guilds. Since then, they've released theme boosters for colors. So in Theros, they're going to have these theme boosters for colors again. However, this time, there are going to be exclusive rares to these theme boosters.
And I'm not sure if I like that. It's a cool idea. It's a way to get folks to, I guess, pick up packs that they're looking for specific colors. But there are some cards in here that are great for Commander. And I just don't know if that's necessarily the best way to get these types of cards into circulation.
I really dislike this. But going through these cards, going through these cards, there's a couple that I'm excited about. Not a ton. And I don't know if I'm going to go out of my way to buy, like you said, to go out of my way to buy the theme boosters just to get these couple cards or wait to just get singles. I don't know how the price fluctuation is going to happen for these singles. So
I assume it's probably going to be high in the beginning and then super bottom out later because I don't know if anyone is really going to want all of these.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm willing to pay a high price for a 7-mana creature that is a 1-of in my 99 Commander deck.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The only place I'll play it.
Right. So let us know what you think about the theme boosters, and I know we posted a link the other week on these.
Yes.
What do you think? There's some cool cards, especially the card that searches for 4 Minotaurs. I really like that. So any Minotaur deck is like, I'm going to play this.
Any Minotaur deck.
Any Minotaur deck.
You know, of the 6 that are out there.
there are multiple legendary Minotaurs.
There's at least 3 that I can think of.
Yeah.
They're all the
4
same guy.
I can think of. No.
I know of Neheb, Neheb, and Neheb.
You've got Morophon. You have the one from, it was like a pit fighter or something. I can't remember. I feel like.
Not Kamal Pit Fighter.
No.
Because he's a burr.
No, I can't remember, but.
Okay. Maybe I'll look deeper into Minotaurs.
into the like the three potential additional Minotaurs that I'm not remembering, but you can play Didgeridoo and this card.
Didgeridon't.
Well, thank you everybody for listening. Next week, have a happy new year and enjoy your New Year's Eve celebrations if you're doing that. As always, if you would like to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me at AT Flory.
You can find me at Squeaky Pig M.
Also take a look for hashtag Guardian Project Pod to find our posts and episodes. We'd like to hear from you. So send along your comments and any topics you'd like us to talk about. And we'll go over those on the next episode. You can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. You'll get one more episode from us as part of season one. And then it's on to season two in January.
We're going to have new superpowers in season two. It'll be cool.
Yeah, I can see through walls.
Well, I mean, they only have Defender. It's like, whatever.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. That's it. We did it. Should we clap?
10 minutes, my ass.
Well, I thought we were going to make it 10 minutes. We're doing just two,
10 minute episodes for 10 minute episodes for 10 minute episodes for